So in the remaining hour, I want to describe this A brains. So A brains, as A brains, I just consider Lagrangian submanifolds. So it can be LA and LB, and we consider open strings from LA to LB. So classically, zero energy equal to zero corresponds to constant map. Because E mainly consists of kinetic term, kinetic energy. This is the sigma 1/2 GIJ plus fermionic component. This vanishes when sigma derivative vanishes. But we are, remember that we are considering open string stretched from LA to LB. And the constant map is possible only to the intersection point. So for each intersection of LA and LB, there is a classical supersymmetric ground state configuration, zero energy configuration. So in the classical approximation, the Suzy ground states are the vector space spanned by each intersection point, LA and LB. So let's just denote that state bracket P. So what I mean by this is essentially the wave function concentrated at those constant map to P. Of course, this is an infinite dimensional space, so the explicit form will be very complicated. But you can imagine some expansion around this, assuming that a tiny neighborhood, everything is flat, then it's just a Gaussian type wave function. Okay. But this is a classical story. In quantum system, in quantum theory, the energy of some states may be lifted to positive energy, may be lifted by tunneling effect. Tunneling effect. Okay. So the main part of this tunneling configuration is something like that trajectory of a point of a configuration from one classical ground state to another. So if you have, say, two critical points, say P and Q, and LA and LB, two ground states, namely two constant maps to the intersections, the tunneling configuration is actually a map from a strip to X, where the left boundary is mapped to LA, of course, and the right boundary is mapped to LB, and this is mapped to this region where in the far, far past it approaches to L. So in the far past it approaches to P, in the far future it approaches to Q. And in this supersymmetric quantum mechanics or quantum field theory, this configuration that contributes to this lifting of energy are the ones that such that this map from the strip to this region is a holomorphic map. So tunneling configuration is given by holomorphic strip. So, in other words, in classical approximation, these are zero energy states, so it should be that all these must be annihilated by the supercharge Q. But if you take into account of this tunneling effect, then this action will be modified. So Q action, supercharge action on classical ground, Suzy ground state is obtained by summing up such holomorphic strips. So this is the idea of obtaining Q action, the real Q action on this approximate ground state, and then compute the cohomology to obtain the real Suzy, quantum Suzy ground state. So this will be the Suzy ground state, as is obtained by this Q complex, this Q complex acting on this. So this is the so-called flare homology, cohomology, for the pair of Lagrangian submanifolds. And let me roughly explain what this action is. So this Q acting on, say, classical ground state P is given by a sum of other points Q in LA and LB, satisfying some relation. I will explain later, satisfying some relation to P with respect to some quantum number. And then number times Q. The number here that appears here is this thing, phi, which is a holomorphic strip. For each holomorphic strip that goes from P to Q, and the weight is e to the minus this phi star, and strip 0 to pi n times r, and omega minus ib. So it's essentially the real part is this holomorphic area of this region. That is this. So it's essentially a sum of other critical points weighted by e to the minus the area of this region. So those of you who know this Morse theory or Morse-Witten complex. This is precisely that kind of action. Okay, so let me just say, okay, I need to explain what this is. This is essentially the restriction on Q such that this holomorphic strip is discrete. But let me just say roughly what this is. This is the regularized index, and index meaning the number of negative eigenvalues, eigenvectors, eigenvalues or eigenvectors of the operator d sigma, this spatial derivative acting on this tangent space at P at the space of paths from LA to LB. So it's an infinite dimensional space because this spatial path is infinite dimensional. And this is Dirac type operator acting on it. So it has positive and negative infinity. This is a spectrum extending both in positive infinity and negative infinity. And so you have to regularize it, but it's regularized in suitable way. In some way. But more easier way to tell is the difference in this index, say for configuration from P to Q, P to P prime, map from strip to such things, will be equal to the index of the Dirac operator, say dz bar operator. In the background for fermions, psi minus fermions in the background, in this background, fine. In the background, fine. Anyway, so this is just a technical remark. Essentially, it's sum over holomorphic strips. So, right. And actually, this way of obtaining ground state is something you could have done for closed strings, and that the ground states for the closed string, we know that it is in one-to-one correspondence with the drum cohomology group, and that actually follows from this kind of argument also, although I gave you another easier argument. In that case, there was no problem in doing this. But here, for open string, there is some subtlety. This is whether this is zero or not. And just as in the case for the Landau-Ginzburg model, for B-brains, not always. It's not always true that Q squared is zero. Q defined in that way is not always nilpotent. Okay. So let me remind you the standard argument for this in this Morse theory setup, usual proof of Q squared equal to zero in more theory. Sorry, I have, for those of you who haven't explained this, please just listen for a while. And so it's like, okay, maybe I should explain at least the minimum part. So you can construct a complex for a manifold. A manifold like this, and say height function, say h, and then you can find several critical points and assume that they are all non-degenerate. And in the classical theory, all these critical points will be the classical ground states, but there will be a tunneling, and the tunneling will be given by these gradient flows. And this is obtained by counting the number of gradient flows. So this is Q for, say, P and 2Q, say. And the Morse index is the number of negative direction for this height function. This index, the analog of mu of P is called Morse index. And this is the negative number of negative directions. So now negative direction is 0 here, 1 here, and 2 here. And this is the sum over Q with Morse index Q is Morse index P plus 1. And E to the weight with the length. Maybe it is normal, in the normalized case, it's just some number. Although you can add the length here. Not the length. The height difference. But you can also normalize it to 1 and Q with some sign here. Plus and minus 1 here. Oh, sorry. The number here, depending on... And the sum over gamma, which is a gradient flow of H from P to Q, and then sine N gamma, this is plus or minus 1, and Q. So it does take the same kind of form, where you had only... right. So you also wanted to add plus or minus 1 here. There you had also the area part, but here the analog of the area is the height difference. Height of Q minus height of P. But that can be renormalized by redefining P and Q, so I just don't try to write here. Okay, so essentially it's the number of... So this is the number of the set Q to P. This is the M is the set of moduli, set of gradient flows. So M, say P to Q, so P to Q is the number, the set of gradient flows from P to Q. Modulo this R, this is the shift in time. Okay. So it can be multidimensional, but for the case where the Morse index is different only by 1, it's a discrete point. Just like there are two things, one thing. But for Morse index differing by 2, there are many gradient flows. There are direct gradient flows like this. And this is there's a one parameter family for the case of most index differing by 2. Okay, so let's just take such pair, pick R and Q with relative most index 2. Okay, then usually what happens is, so the moduli space is one-dimensional, and its boundary is sum over broken trajectories, P to Q times Q to P, sorry, Q to R, and mu of Q, mu of P, such that. So it's like in that example. So there are, say, Q1, say, Q2, and R and P. So there's a family of gradient flows, but there's a boundary point. It approaches to this broken gradient flows. In this example, this times this gradient flow and this times this gradient flow. In this example, one boundary is this and this, and another, there's another one, this is this and this. So this is the usual situation. So let's call it this equation here. And consider the number of points in there. And the number is counted with sign, and the number of one-dimensional boundary of one-dimensional object is zero, because the number of, okay. So the moduli space is, say, one-dimensional, so it's a union of such things. And this is counted as one, and this is counted as minus one, because it's always oriented. So if you count the total number, it's always sum up to zero, P to R, and therefore sum over a number of Q and this sign is defined such a way that Q mu Q numbering factorizes. Okay. And if you recall this definition of Q operator, this is the same thing as zero. Well, this is the same thing as, so this is like Q applied to Q applied to P, and taking the R component, this is zero. So that means this Q squares to zero. That's the standard derivation. So this relation was the most important part. And this fails for the case of open strings. This can fail. So let me show you one example. So however, in the for open string system, analog of this can fail. And this leads to Q squares to non-zero relations. Let me show an example. So take this. So X is, say, C, and one of the Lagrangian is this, another is this circular one, LA and LB. And it has two critical points, P and Q. Now, from Q to P, there is one holomorphic strip, which is the strip mapped from this to this, mapped this to this region, region C. It is like e to the minus a c, and Q. And from Q to P, actually, this mu of P is actually, in this case, defined only modulo 2. So it can come back. Q applied to this point Q is, there's this strip, LA to LB, so the region, the area of this region, and then P. Now, if you compose Q, Q, P, it is E to the minus area of the region C, union D, and then P, which is indeed non-zero. So Q squared to zero equation fails, and the reason for this failure is precisely because this doesn't hold. So to see this, let's just consider the moduli space of holomorphic strip from P to P with the prescribed boundary condition, left on LA and right on for LB. Left boundary to the mat to LA and right boundary to the mat to LB. So this is the broken strip. So this is the broken strip. So P to P. And first, let's go from P to Q. And then from Q to P. So this is like this. So this is at the boundary of this moduli space. Now you can actually, it deforms to the following things. So this is LA and LB. LB, LA. P. And so the deformed one is, it turns at some point here. So strip going this way, and then continue like this, without breaking. So the map is like going through this narrow region and then come back. This is one deformation of this, and it continues like this. Then the deformation is just moving this point, turning point, to the left, say in the middle. These kind of things. And then in the end, there's an end where this turning point is here. So it's like, so this kind of configuration. These are all holomorphic strips from P to P. P to P. With the right boundary condition. So the analogous diagram to this is as follows. So let's call it 1, 2, and 3. So P to P. So this is this broken one. And then this is the first one and the second one. Second one is closer to the middle, and the third one is on the right, and that's the boundary of this MPP. So the boundary is this line and this broken one. So there is, in this moduli space, there's this, its boundary is not always all this kind of broken one, but just one bubble of disk. So this is a bubble of holomorphic So if there is such a configuration, then it can appear as the end, as the boundary of this motionless space. So that will destroy that relation. So this fails. So Q squared is indeed non-zero, as we have just seen. Okay, so this is the mirror of Q squared is delta W in the B brains in Landau-Ginzburg model. For example, if you take this, say, the mirror of TT1, take the T-dual, say, suppose you consider this Lagrangian-Sum manifold wrapped on the torus fiber, say, CP1. The mirror is the cylinder with this superpotential. Then, because we are T-dualizing along the circle, yes. If you T-dualize along a circle, then this is mapped to a point. Yes. Roughly speaking, this is mapped under T-duality to this. And this is mapped under T-duality to this. And this equal to zero is the Dirichlet condition, and this is zero is the Neumann condition. And then T-duality, Neumann and Dirichlet conditions are exchanged. So the Neumann condition along this line is mapped to the Dirichlet condition, so it's a point. And Dirichlet condition along this line stays as the Dirichlet condition because I'm not T-dualizing in this direction. Delta W. Oh, no, sorry. This is from the second brain to the first, the difference of the value of the second brain and the first brain. And you can do the same. So to take two brains, LA and LV, and then this is PA and PB. And then doing this analysis, say computing Q squared in this side with this instanton, with this tunneling configuration, you will see actually this difference in the superpotential, and it exactly matches with the one coming from this. So this can give us another way to find what the mirror superpotential is. Yes. That's right. That's right. This is the feature of this mirror symmetry. Yes. Here it is non-perturbative, very quantum mechanical in here. In this Q squared, non-zero is very quantum mechanical, non-perturbative. And this Q squared, this is essentially classical. Well, Q is operator, so it's not really classical, but yes, it's canonical. So this is one story, and this is for this case of CP. I have just explained this for CP1. I haven't even explained the detail of this computation. It's beautiful how you get this term, or if you take this difference, you have four terms, and four terms comes from actually four kind of holomorphic strips like this. And actually the generalization to the most general toric manifold and its torus fiber has been done by Jo Hyun Cho, a student of, oh sorry, Oh and Cho. And it is confirmed mathematically using this kind of strip counting. Okay. Next, I want to describe the A brains in Langer Ginsburg model. So, I consider LA, LB in X, and the condition for this to make A brain is that it's constant, say, imaginary part of W A for on L A, or imaginary part W B on L B. Yes. W equal to, oh, okay, so there are, so this is from Y space to W, it's 2-to-1 map. For each X, for each value, there are two values for Y, right? Because, right, well, let's try to solve it. It's written in terms of this quadratic equation, minus e to the minus y w plus e to the minus b equal to 0. So all quadratic equation has two roots. So w a must be equal to w b must be that they are of the same, they are at the same points, or they are at the one of this is at one root, another is at the other root. But as we have as I have explained in this previous part, the cohomology is this. If you are interested in Suzy ground supersymmetric ground states, it is non-trivial only when the two points are at the same point, and at the same point, and it is at the critical points. There are two points. Yes, it is this. Okay, so this corresponds. So critical points of this. Actually, e to the minus y is plus or minus e to the minus 2/2. And this is like, this corresponds to actually the equator that divides exactly into half. And the gauge field is, holonomy of the gauge field is either trivial or non-trivial. Suppose, let's say, B field is turned off, then it is. So I haven't given the name for this cohomology, this Q cohomology, Q complex, is usually called flare homology of pair of LA and LB when Q squared is in this is satisfied. You have to make sure, as I have said, in some case it fails, but when this is satisfied, the Q complex is denoted like this, and it's called flare homology. I said it. I gave this name, but I haven't wrote it this way. And this shows that the flare homology for this brain, L, A, and L, B, is non-zero, and you know even what it is. It is C star, C of C to the dimension is just this, which is C to the zeroth power and the first power, C and C. One bosonic and one fermionic state. If and only if L, A is L, B, sorry, L, A and gauge field, L, A, 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 L B A B. L A is L B is equator, the one that divides the sphere into half, and AA is AB, is zero or, say, pi, namely this holonomy minus one. Only those cases, flare homology is non-zero. And for others, it vanishes. Or ill-defined. Yes. Q squared. Those things which where this is non, there's where it has no Suzy ground states. yeah, it's a subtle because you can say that when the bulk theory is invariant under RG flow. So it's like bulk theory is running, and at the same time boundary is running. So it's a bit subtle situation. But yes, of course you can consider, say, similar situation in, say, the target space Calabia, where the bulk theory is conformal, it's invariant under RG flow. In that case, so flows to meaning like there's an RG flow from that boundary condition to another. let's see. I don't know of such example where at some position the cohomology is totally vanishing. And at another position, it's non-zero. I don't know of such example, so I can't answer to this. But stability can be described in such case by, say, whether there's a relevant operator in this spectrum. If there is, yes, it's unstable and it flows to something. And flows to what thing is another interesting thing, and yes, there is a certain way to analyze it, but not general story is not known. Right. So the point I made first is that this model, the bulk theory itself, is also flowing. So it's a bit shaky what the boundary, it's not easy to say the boundary condition flows to something without mentioning about what's happening at the bulk. When Q squared is non-zero, of course it doesn't define a complex, so you are just out. Yes. And physically, it does mean that there will Q squared to say constant, then there's no way that you have a supersymmetric ground state. Yes. I should have said this. Q squared is non-zero by this mechanism. I don't know who studied it first, who noticed it first. I guess it's Flair. It's due to flare, but the detail of this in the larger context is studied by the work by Fukaya, Ota Ono, there's a preprint of 300, nearly 400 pages in 2000, and they are trying to revise it, and I heard they added more hundreds of pages. But this is the representing literature in this subject. This Q squared equal to zero phenomenon, as I described, is actually explained in their paper. And then they also studied further obstruction for studying this flare cohomology. Yes, there is some specific, so there is this A, so-called A infinity algebra structure in this in the theory of all open string theories, and this Q squared part is so-called, I think, M zero part. Yeah, and maybe they do say something how to cure this problem to by modifying, but I haven't actually followed what they are saying, or at least I can't reproduce it now. Okay. Anyway, so this is this. Let's just move on to this Lander-Ginzburg model. So let's take such brains. So for example, let's pick two critical points, PA, PB, two critical points of the super potential. And then LA to be this LPA, the stable manifold at PA. And LB, LPB, PB. So, so it's like PB, say PA and PB, and this union of this gradient flow lines of real part of W. It maps under super potential to a straight line like this. WPA and WPB, and it's a straight line. So this is LA and this is LB. And usually, as you see, that even the image doesn't intersect. So, of course, the pre-image do not intersect. But still, there can be a supersymmetric ground state, as I explain right now. So let me write down the supercharge, Q. So in this case, QA. So Q is 0 to pi d sigma no G I J bar minus G I J bar psi minus I sigma phi bar J bar minus I psi minus I G I J bar sigma phi bar j bar plus minus I this plus psi plus y j bar g I j bar y I plus I j bar double bar. So this is the expression for the supercharge. Now, in this case, not the Q squared equals the zero relation, but this relation is modified. So usually this is the relation, but now there's this delta imaginary part W, which is imaginary part WB minus imaginary part WA. So this saves right. Okay. So this in this case the Susy ground state, the meaning of the Susy ground state is different. So in this case, Susy ground state is not zero energy state. That means that H plus this equal to zero means the supersymmetric bound state. So energy plus the shift is zero. So that means that this right. And you can show that by looking at this expression, or by looking at this expression for Q, that this is the same as this equation. Not the constant map, but this. So this is the flow equation for, it's a gradient flow. So this is a gradient flow of not real part of W, but this time minus imaginary part of W from LA at sigma equal to zero to LB at sigma equal to pi. So not the normal gradient flow from LA to LB. It's a gradient flow for specified sigma separation. Okay. And first remark is that there's no solution if the imaginary part of WA is less than the imaginary part of WB, because it's a gradient flow, gradient flow in the negative direction. So this is the case where in the W plane it's like this. This is the W of LB, LA, and W of LB. But gradient flow is in the negative direction. If you start from LA, it goes there. It can never end at LB. So there's no solution. This can also be seen by this thought. In this case, this delta in W is positive, and H is, of course, positive. So it can never attain zero. There can be a solution. There are solution may exist for if imaginary part of WA is larger than imaginary part of WB. So this is the situation where you have something like this. So this is the WPA and WPB, this point and this point. And there can be a solution like this. So it's a gradient flow, so it must be straight downward in the imaginary part of W, in the W plane. There can be several. So these lines are the analog of intersection points in the previous case of nonlinear sigma model. So again, just like as in nonlinear sigma model, one may consider tunneling effects, analyzing tunneling effects. Like from a strip to this region where the right boundary is mapped to here, right left boundary is mapped to here, and this is mapped to this. And then analyze, they compute the complex, determine the complex and compute the cohomology. But that's long work, and there's actually a trick to solve this without doing this explicit computation. But before that, let me just make a remark on this number of possible paths like that. So let's consider this. So this is LA, PA. PB. And then take this, let's see. So this is the imaginary part direction. So here I'm not necessarily talking about this 0 to pi trajectory. I'm generally interested in the gradient flow in the imaginary part of W direction. So let's consider star and star prime. And let delta A to be the intersection of LA and the pre-image of this star. And delta B to be intersection of LB and the pre-image of this star prime. And let's try to move by minus gradient imaginary part of W. Do the gradient flow. So move this cycle here, so it will be another delta A prime. So delta A and delta A. Delta B, delta A prime and delta B are in the imaginary part, in the pre-image of this same point. And let's compute the intersection number. Let's call it mu AB. And this number is actually the number of trajectories, gradient flow, forgetting about when it starts and when it ends, but the number of gradient flow from LA to LB is actually the number of intersections of those cycles. It's obvious because these are the points starting from LA, and if it ends on this LB, it will be intersecting with delta B. So this is the number. So mu AB could be negative, so this is the number of gradient flow flows from LA to LB at a given value of imagine, at a given line like this, line over a given line, line where real part of W is constant. So if you fix any line here, then over that line there's a gradient flow from LA to LB, as many as this new AB. So if you move this line, then there will be a family of gradient flow lines from LA to LB, as many as this. So move this real part of star. So star is in here, but move it here. Then there will be a family, mu A B families of gradient flow lines of minus imaginary W from LA to LB. So, right, that's the picture. And for each family, let's pick one family. So let's just take one of them, say this one, and try to see where it extends. This. And the sigma, separation of sigma required from going from LA to LB is given by just using the gradient flow equation. You can show that this is d of imaginary part of W and delta W squared and squared. This is sigma you need to go from LA to LB, and what we want is the such trajectory where this is pi, exactly pi, because these kind of trajectories are the one you want. But you can plot this right hand side, plot of the right hand side. As a function of this real part of this star value. This is the moving value. And we are assuming that W goes to infinity grows at infinity. And W is, the power of W is 1 in the numerator and 2 in the denominator. And the denominator is essentially the potential. So the denominator grows toward the infinity. So roughly it should behave like this. I don't know what happens in the middle, say, this. Maybe. This, okay. And say pi, if pi is here, then only those points you get the right classical zero energy configuration, like that. But one thing I can use is that H Susie does not change under the formation of the following forms. Under the scaling of W, say e to the t, of the superpotential. If you do this scaling, say to then take t to very large, then this function, not too large, actually too small, sorry, too small, too negative large, then this function actually is inflated. So this part will go to this part, this part will go to this, this, so it can be, it's inflated. And the intersection with pi is always that, you can always make it that it intersects with pi at one point. So this means that the ground state is just at this point and nowhere else, for this, at least for this family. So this argument shows that this, for each family there is this ground state, and you can also show that there is no instanton between two different members of the family. There's no tunneling between two different members. So this means that for each family, for each member of the family, there's one ground state. So the number of total number of ground states is c to the mu a b. And right, where mu ab is the intersection number of this these two cycles, and this is actually the same. So this is topological number. So it's obtained by going through this and this, and then let it intersect. But as long as there's nothing inside, you can actually connect the two straight and then compute the number of trajectory from there to there, from one critical point to another. And that is actually, it will take infinite time and infinite sigma. And this is actually the number of solitons from PA to PB. PA and PB will be a ground state of this Landau-Ginzburg model, and this will be equal to the number of solitons from PA to PB. An alternative way to describe it is, so as this argument shows, this is intersection of the two such cycles at very far infinity. Even if there's some other things here, then this argument shows that the right ground state, classical ground state that appears is right to everything else that can happen here. Namely, there could be some other critical points here, but this argument shows that everything that happens is at large values of the real part of W. So another way to compute this is, say, suppose this is W of LA and W of LB. Let's try to rotate. Suppose there could be some other critical values here. Then the topological number going here and going here will be different, can be different, but the right number we want is the intersection number from here to there, intersection number through this path. So another way to do it is to rotate this LB slightly in the positive direction and rotate this, rotate this LB in the positive direction and rotate this LA in the negative direction and then let it intersect. And the intersection number of LB, LA minus and LA plus, the rotated cycle, will be also the same as this one. So anyway, so this, in this case, in for this A brain Zeeland-Ginzburg model, for this kind of A brain Zeeland-Ginzburg model, you can compute this supersymmetric ground state, and you find as that there are ground states as many as the intersection number of such rotated cycle. Okay, I really have to stop here. And also, I could also add that, of course, there is also an interesting story between B brains in, say, toric manifold, like CP1 or CPN, and A brains in this Landau-Ginzburg model. One example is, so again, this is the example. So there are two critical points, because W and the critical point of W is e to the minus y is plus or minus e to the minus t over 2. So if it is this, then it is minus e to the minus this. So B brain in this, so the correspondence will be, say, if you take B brains in here, you get A brains. And yeah, an example of A brain is the brain wraps totally on this, on CP1, and carrying no gauge field. And just following what I explained, this T-dualizing along the fiber, you get one thing, straight line, and you get, it's T-dualizing along this fiber and everything, brain is wrapped everywhere, so it's directly down boundary condition in this direction. After T-dualizing, Neumann will be directly, and Neumann in this direction will stay as Neumann. So in the mirror side, it will be some horizontal line such that imaginary part of this is constant. Okay. And there is one thing, and this is, say, suppose T is zero, for example, or suppose T is real, then it is just this thing here. This is one. This is the image of this trivial one. And you can also consider, and in the image, it's the two values are 2 e to the minus t half and minus 2 e to the minus t half. And the image of this is just this thing. And you can actually turn on this theta angle that will rotate this picture. And actually, theta angle, as I said, theta angle is B field. And turning on theta angle will be turning on B field. And at the same time, B field plus this curvature of the gauge bundle is the one that has unambiguous meaning. And having some integral B field is the same as having some line bundle, having some non-trivial first term class. So turning on B field will rotate this like this, and or rotate these things in this way, and or sorry, maybe Anyway, if you do this rotation, and if B is integral, then it comes back to itself or to here. And what happens is that turning on this first term class in this side, so this is this trivial D2 plane. And okay, let me draw another diagram. Adding, so D2 band supporting O, say O1, corresponds to actually adding, so this is this, adding this circle. So O1 is like this. Or O1 minus trivial 1 is like D0 plane, point plane. So if you have a point, then if you do T-duality along the point, then it will be a Neumann boundary condition in this direction and stays a Dirichlet boundary condition. And this is precisely this class of plane. Okay, anyway. So you can have, have this correspondence between B brains in toric toric manifold and A brains in this Landau-Ginzburg model. This is the simplest case, but of course this should generalize to other toric manifolds, and perhaps this is one of the topic of this tomorrow's talk. Okay, I stop. Are there questions?